We are doing Pirkei de Eliezer tonight, and our learning should be to the merits of all our brothers in the south suffering the bombardment, and the soldiers. Hashem should help us succeed and foil the plots of our enemies. We're in the middle of the 34th chapter of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and we had seen in this chapter many interesting things last time. The chapter had discussed life and death, and the chapter had discussed that Hashem brings people back, that there is Tchiyat Amitim, and how that's going to work. And the chapter discussed dreams, and the chapter had discussed the piercing whales that traverse all of the planet, all of the world, that there are six things that occur in the world, that their whale pierces and goes across the world from one end to the other end. And because the chapter is so long, we had paused where we're holding right now, in the middle of the 34th chapter, in the Eshkol edition. It begins, Shlosha Oavim Yeshlo Le'adam Bechayav. In the Eshkol edition, it's page Kuf Chaf Beis. In the Toldot Aron edition, what's this called? This is the, what edition is this? The Zichron Aron edition, it's on page Reish Tzadiches, at the bottom of the page. And the Medrash continues, Shlosha Oavim Yeshlo Le'adam Bechayav. You guys have it? Person has three friends in this life, and the dog is not going to be one of them. Three friends in this lifetime. The Eluhen, and these are they, Banavu Vnei Vanav, his children, his grandchildren. Some here say Banavu Vnei Veito, which means his children, the people of his home, his wife, his, the people who are in his house. So that's friend number one. Umamuno, his money, that's friend number two. Umasava Tovim, and his good actions, that is friend number three. So we have three friends, and we're going to see that the Medrash tells us very interesting things about these friends. We have to think about this for a minute. If these are our friends in this world, how do we treat our friends, and how do they treat us? Uvishat p'tirato min ha'olam, when a person is coming to depart from this world, he gathers his children and his family members. He says to them, "Bevakasha mikem, please, bo come v'atziluni midin ha'mavet ha'raze. Save me from this decree of death." Person, God forbid, doctor tells him he has 6 months left to live. What does he do? He gathers all his friends and family and says, "Let's go online. Let's find some alternative medicine. Let's figure something out." It's unfortunate, but sometimes you have to know that there is no cure. I mean, we have to daven. Chazal say, even if there's an ailment that there is no cure, you can daven, and that can change things. Chizkio, the king, he was sick with an ailment that no one ever was cured from, and the prophet came in and told him, "You're going to die. Gather your family and tell them your last will and testament." And then he turned around and davened, and against all odds, against the prophecy, against the doctors, against all of history, there was never a medical case like his that made it back. He made it back. He lived a few more years. I mean, over a decade. He lived almost 2 decades longer. He lived quite a while afterwards. So you never give up. But on the other hand, you don't have to go online and search, and you find all kinds of things. For every 999,000 things that are fake, there's one that's real. You got to realize your odds of finding the real one among all the charlatans is like almost one in a million. There's a lot of fakes out there. So I've been there. Spent days searching for cures for people. And I realized that a needle in a haystack is easier to find. So when a person is confronted with a declaration of death, so the first thing he does is he gathers his friends and family and says, "Help me, let me get out of this." Now, they could try and lead him along and say, "Yeah, here, this will work, that'll work." Sometimes it's good for a person. Sometimes you help a person. He could contend with things when you give him a placebo. But the Medrash says, "Hen mishivin oto v'mwinlo," they tell him, "V'lo shamata, haven't you heard, chen shilton b'yom ha'mavet?" No one is in control when comes the day of death. Moshe Rabbeinu stood up to the angel of death, and he stood and pleaded before God, but at the end of the day, en shilton b'yom ha'mavet. No one's in control. God runs the show, and what can we do? Velo chachtiv, and doesn't it say so in the verse, achlof adoyif deish, a brother can't redeem his fellow man. So he begins by asking his family and the people of his house, and they tell him, we can't do it. V'afidu mamonoshu ohev, and even his beloved money, his family members tell him, you should know, the money can't redeem him either. Sh'ne'emar lo yiten le'elokim kofro, as the verse says, he can't bail himself out before God. Lama, why can't he bail himself out? V'yikal pidyon nafsham v'chadal, the verse says, because you don't have enough money to post bail. God says, I value your lives so much, you want to bail yourself out? Well, it's too expensive. You can't afford it. Midaval ze leolam. Hold yourself back from this. You can't. For eternity, you won't be able to bail yourself out. Ela, but rather, his family and the people of his house tell him, Lech leshalom, go in peace, v'tanoch al mishkavcha. You should rest in your resting place, v'tamod legoolcha leketz hayamin. And you should get up for your lot when the end of time comes. V'hechek echaim chasidei olam. But you should merit that your portion should be with the righteous of the world. And some have a custom, they say this to the deceased. This line is said very often at the eulogy. When people eulogize a relative, so sometimes they say this line to the relative. Just like the Medrash says, that the family members tell the relative, go rest in peace, and you should arise again for your lot at the end of time with the righteous of the world. So his family members say, we can't help. Uchshureken, and when a person sees this, machnisat mamono, he gathers his money, v'omerlo, and he says to his money, arbet arachti alecha laila v'yom, I work very hard over you, money. Night and day I've worked to attain you. V'vakasha mimcha, please of you, pedeni min amavet hazeh v'atzileni, rescue me from this death, save me. V'hu meshivo, so the money responds, v'alo shamata, don't you know, lo yo'il hon biyom evra, all the wealth can't help a person at the day of anger. So he tries. He can hire the richest doctors, the best doctors. He can do what he can, but at the end of the day, there is a time when God says it's over. Achar kach, machnis ma'asav ha'tovim, then he brings in his good actions. Notice that first he turned to family. He didn't want to waste his money first. First he turned to family. And then when the family can't do anything, he turns to the money. And then when the money can't do anything, then he looks at his actions and says, V'omelem, he says, Bo v'atziluni min amavet hazeh, come save me from this debt. V'itchazgui mi, strengthen with me. You guys help me, I'll help you. I'll do more tzedakah. I'll support more causes. People sometimes plead with God. You give me more time, I'll start being a good person. I'll prove it to you. So it's a good thing. It's a good idea. We should always try. What did Yaakov Avinu say to Hashem? He said, you help me out, then I will be a good person. I will be a good person. I'll donate this. I'll erect this temple. I'll give a tithe. So man says to his good actions, don't let me leave this world. You still have hope with me if I'll be saved. If I'll make it, I'll still do things. I'll do more good actions. And his good actions say back to him, Lech l'shalom, go to peace. But don't worry, before you get there, we'll get there first. Shenemar, as the verse says, V'alach lefanecha tzidkecha, kvod Hashem yasfecha. Man's righteousness leads the way when God gathers a person's soul to heaven. Before he gets up to heaven, his good deeds are already there paving the way and making claim for him. And then the man dies. This is pretty somber medrash. That's where we're up to. We're going in order, guys. Shivat yimei ha'evel matchil haguf le'atliya. In the 7 days of mourning, the body starts to become wormy. The body starts to rot. V'names, and it melts, v'chozer le'afar k'shaya, and ultimately it goes back to the earth as it was. Sh'ne'emar, as the verse says, v'yashov ha'afar ala aretz k'shaya. Earth returns to the ground. Man is but earth. He can decompose. We look at ourselves in the mirror, we trim our beard, we comb our hair, put on a nice suit and tie, and we feel like we're something. Shlomo HaMelech said, you're earth, and you'll return to earth. The earth returns to the earth the way it once was. So, pretty somber. But Chazal say it's important to remember this. Hasidim used to travel with their techrichim, with their burial garments, to remind themselves that one day it's going to that's where I'm headed. So, it's important to remember. And remembering it is not supposed to make us depressed, but supposed to give us perspective on life. To appreciate every day, value every day, and make the most of every day. ומנין אנו למדים שהנפש ניתנה מן השמיים? Where do we know this from? That God gave us the soul, that He gave us something godly. Meaning, Chazal described that there are different levels of nefesh. There's a nefesh ba'amit, the animalistic life. A plant also has life. An animal also has life. But when it comes to human life, what does the Torah say? Na'ase Adam, let us make man. God turns to the earth and says, you and I together. You'll give the physical and I'll give the spiritual. You and I together, God says. Na'ase Adam, let us. Me and the earth, right? That's what we learned in the Ramban on Fridays. We learned the Ramban's work on Torat Hashem Tmimah. That's how the Ramban explained it. So, how do we know that this soul is given from heaven? Bo rei, come and see. Kshe'atzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ta'adam, when God fashioned man, lo haya bo ruach neshama. He didn't have a spirit. He didn't have neshama. Masa, what did God do? Nafach beruach piv. God blew, so to speak, with his mouth. V'nizreka bo neshama. And he threw a neshama into him. Sh'nemar, as the pasuk says, v'yipach ba'apav nishmat chayim. He blew into him a spirit of life. Question. What about me? Where did my neshama come from? Did God blow it into me? Or is it something biological? You know, there's a seed, there's an egg, there's a zygote, it evolves, and then you have a human. Homo sapien, right? So how does that work? So if we stop and think for a minute, the answer to that question is in our davening every day. What do we say every morning? Elokai, my God. Neshama shenatata bi, the neshama that you've implanted in me, Torai, it's pure. Ata verata, you created it. Ata yitzarta, you fashioned it. Veata nefachta bi, and you blew it into me. Meaning we describe in davening as though Hashem blows the neshama into us. There's a recreation. When we read Bereishis, God fashioned man, put together the mud, molded a human being, and then blew life into him. So in davening we describe as though that happens again with each human being. God blows life into us. So the Medrash asked, how do we know that the nefesh was given from heaven? We could understand this to mean the nefesh of Adam HaRishon. Or, the more simple understanding is, that it means every one of us, our nefesh, is heavenly and God blew it into us. So, as far as we know, we weren't mud, right? We don't begin as mud. But whatever mud means about Adam HaRishon, maybe it means about us the same thing. Okay, I don't think it means literally mud, even though the simple translation is mud. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol ha-gufot nogim ba'afar ha-aretz. All the different physical bodies touch the earth. Ad she'eino mishteyo min haguf ela kimlo tova drakav. And that body, as it lies in the earth, so as it decomposes, different parts of the body settle in the earth, and the body rots till all you have left is a tarvad, which is a vessel, it's some kind of big spoon, it's like a ladle. You have a ladle full of rakav, of decomposement. That's what's left of a human being at the end. V'hu mitarev ba'afar ha'aretz, and it mixes in the earth, kisor shu mitarev ba'isa, like the yeast in the dough. U'latid lavon, in the future, k'sheikra kadosh baruch hu la'aretz, when God will call out to the land, she'iten pikdon kol ha'gufot, God says, you land, I gave you collateral, I gave you something to watch over, I gave you the bodies, give me back the bodies. Ha'hu shu mitarev ba'afar ha'aretz, kisor shu mitarev ba'isa, that decomposement that mixed in the earth, like the yeast in the dough, meyapel marbe, it becomes beautiful, it becomes bigger, umalet kol haguf. So just like yeast makes the dough rise, so to that decomposement that we think, what is that? No, that's something. That has potential for life. Maybe today we understand it better with DNA, who knows? Right? Regeneration, what do we know? But the Medrash says, God says that decomposement of the human, that's going to be like the yeast in the dough. And then, just like the dough rises, the earth will rise. Miyad haaretz rasha v'arim izdazim. The earth trembles, the mountains shake. V'akvarot niftachim. And the burial plots open up. V'avnei kvarot mitpazrot isha me'et luta. and the stones that they put on the burial plots scatter one from another. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Boshiyam Hashem Elohim b'yomu," God will rescue them on that day. So there is a massive reawakening, and all the dead come to life. Okay, so now we know what's going to be, right? We all know. When it happens, we won't be surprised. Rabbi, guys, I'm joking. You can have a sense of humor. Hello. Rabbi Azariah Omer. Rabbi Azariah said, "Kol anfashot biyadosh hakadosh baruch hu." What I mean to say, why am I joking? Because on the one hand, we're reading the Medrash, so we're translating what we're reading. On the other hand, we have to understand that we don't really understand what we're reading. It sounds like a fascinating thing. We have some concept, but we have to recognize that our understanding is very limited. And when it'll happen, then we'll understand what we read. But right now, okay, we're learning a Medrash. Rabbi Azariah Omer. Rabbi Azariah tells us, "Kol anefashot biyadosh hakadosh baruch hu." All the souls are in God's hands. In God's hand. Shneimar, the verse says, "Shel biyadon nefesh kol chai." God holds everyone's life in His hand. What does that mean? Is God holding my life in His hand right now? No. It means like this. Mashal lema davar domeh. What is this similar to? Lechad sheya malech bashuk. If someone's walking in the marketplace, umaftech biyadon, he's holding on to a key. Kol zman shemaftech biyado, kol mamino biyado. So long as you're holding the key to that safety deposit box, you consider it like you have all the gold and safety deposit boxes in your hand. You don't have it in your hand. If someone asks you, do you have money? Yeah, I have the key. I have the keys. I have the money, right? So that's what Hashem means when He says He's holding on to our lives. Kacha kadosh baruch hu, so too God, maftech shebet hakvorot biyado. God says, I'm holding on to that key that opens up the graves. We say there are three keys in the world that God holds on to. One is the key to opening up the graves, to bring the dead back to life. So Hashem, so to speak, is holding on to that key. Umaftech otzvot hanshamo, and God is holding on to the key where all the neshamos are stored. Chazal tell us there's a room in heaven called Guf. The word Guf is also a room in heaven, and in that room, God created all the different neshamos that are yet to be in the world. Those neshamos have to come out. When they finish coming out, then the world is over. Game's over.
Do any go back?
I don't know. The Pashup Shat and the Gemara is no, they don't go back. They only come out. That's why some Hasidish Rebbe said that a Jew should have a big family, because when you have a big family, you're bringing the Mashiach. There's a mitzvah, pruvu. There's a mitzvah, le'erval tanach yadecha. And then the Hasidish Rebbe has added that it's a good idea to have a big family, because every kid you bring into the world, you're bringing us one step closer to the Mashiach, because we've got to empty out that room. But you got to make sure you could feed all those kids and educate all those kids, and there's a lot to think about. Yeah. Oh, so it's a good question. Maybe later tonight we'll get to that. So God is holding on to these keys. And in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu potech takvarot, God opens the graves, potech tosot and shemot, and He opens His storage house of neshamos, umachzir kol ruach v'roch leguf besarish. He returns every spirit to the body of the human. Shneimar, the verse says, "Teshalach ruchachai bariyun," God, You send the spirit, and suddenly they're created. V'anepesh doma liyotzah, and that soul that's within us is similar to God. That soul is godly. Makadosh Baruch Hu, just as God sees. Veino nireh, and yet you can't see Him right now. You look, where is He? Where is He? Show me. So you could say He's right here. He's right there. He's everywhere. You could say that. But you don't see something specific that you say that's God, right? God is everywhere, and yet we don't necessarily see Him. So too, kacha nefesh, so too our soul is ro'ah, it sees, veino nireh, and yet it cannot be seen. What's doing the seeing? My eye is the physical tool that sees. And my brain, with the neurotransmitter, transmits all that information. But what's the life that's in me? How come when a person's dead, he doesn't talk? When he's alive, he does talk. What is life? Life is the neshama. Life, everything else is tools for the neshama. So the neshama, you look for it, you look here, you look there, right? They spent years researching, trying to find it. It's one of the cruel things that they did, right? When they'd capture enemies, so they'd cut them up and try to find where's the life that's in them. You know about this, right? So there was much research invested in it. At the end of the day, no one knows where it all begins. Science today also doesn't have a clear answer for that. We say that's what's spiritual. That's life, right? That's just like God. He sees, but He cannot be seen directly. You don't see anything specific that's God. So too, that's our nefesh. Just as God doesn't sleep, so too the nefesh doesn't sleep. When we sleep, our life still functions. Our heart still pumps blood. We're still alive. Our nefesh is still here. Just as God is willing to put up with this world, even though, look at the state of the world, so too the nefesh is willing to put up with the body, even though look at what the body is busy doing. V'chol ha'nefashot mishelo, and all the nefashos belong to God, as the verse says, she'nemar hen kol nefashot lihena. God says, they're all mine. Rabbi Yehuda omer miyom shechav bet ha'mikdash eretz umlala merat yoshvea. Rabbi Yehuda says, from the time the temple was destroyed, planet Earth has been sickly miserable. Sickly. The land has been sickly from the evil of its inhabitants. Kadam shu chole ben bakoch la'amod, like a person who is ill and he doesn't have strength to stand up. Kach ha'aretz umlala, so too the earth is ill. Ve'en bakoch liten perotah, and it doesn't have the power to give forth the fruits. Chazal tells that the fruits before the destruction of the temple had one flavor, and ever since the destruction, you're never going to taste a good apple. The best apple you're eating was better when the temple was still around. Everything changed. The world changed. The physical world. The fruits of the earth. Chazal say even the sky changed. The color of the sky. Chazal say the world, the physical world changed when the temple was destroyed. When they looked at the sky after the destruction of the temple, they say it's not the same color. And the Pashup Shad is they meant literally. I don't know.
After the destruction
of the temple, I think it's after the destruction of the second temple, but we have to look it up. It's a Gemara and Brachos. We have to look it up.
We don't know anybody now.
Right? But what I could tell you is a few interesting points, just if we're going to discuss it. We have in halacha certain times that we have to recognize colors. There are in the laws of family purity, in the laws of tzaras, we have to recognize colors. And the halacha discusses what lighting do you use to identify colors. Meaning there are nuances that you have to be very, very sharp to pick up. Meaning you have to really be able to tell the difference between slight nuances of colors. It takes a lot of training. And, people who have tried it will tell you that there is a marked difference between the sunlight in Israel and anywhere else in the world. Go to France, go to England, go to America, and go on a sunny, bright sunny day, and you'll see that it's different. I could tell you that the sky in Israel is different than the sky in America. So it's a different color sky. You just look at the sky, the color. You know. You didn't notice it?
I never looked up.
Well, if you ever have to visit America, take a look up. And before you go, take a look up here. You'll see it's a different color sky. The sky here has changed in the last 10 years because of all the pollution. Color of the sky. You wake up in the morning, the sky is gray. It didn't used to be that way. But the sky here is a different color than in America. The closest place in America that I ever saw a color sky similar to Israel was in Wisconsin. This one's in Wisconsin. You go there in the flat plains, you look out, the sky is similar, close, not the same, but close.
So, is it more polluted there?
It's more polluted here than in Wisconsin. There's a limit to how much pollution cows make. I mean, so Chazal tell us that the world's been suffering, planet Earth has been suffering since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Planet Earth has been like a person who is ill and he doesn't have strength to stand, and therefore the earth hasn't given as much strength into its fruits. Shenemaz, the verse says, Ve'aretz chanfa tachat yoshvea. U'le'atid lavon, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu morid tchiyat tal u'mcheyem meitim. God will give this dew of life and bring back the dead. As the verse says, Yichyu meitecha, God says, your dead will come back to life. Elu Yisrael shemetu v'tuchim al shmo. These are the Jews that died having faith in God's name. They will come back when God brings the dead back. Nevelati kumun, the Pasuk says. The carcasses will arise. Elu harshaim. That's a reference to the wicked. Shehen kin velata beima. They're like a carcass of an animal. Sheyakumu liyom adin. They get up to be judged. Avelo yichyu. But after being judged, they go back to being dead. They don't remain alive. The Pasuk continues, Akitsu, awaken, v'rananu, and rejoice. Shochnei afar, you who have lived by the earth. Elu tzadikim shem shochnei afar. That's a reference to tzadikim that throughout their lives, they live close to the earth, meaning they're humble. A proud person is always described as his nose is in the clouds, right? And a humble person is, he's modest, he's closer to the earth.
So these guys get up and then they're judged, they go back down.
Right.
They're just destroyed completely, like the soul is...
That's what it seems down. Like, right. So that needs a discussion because that's Olam Haba and this is Tchiyat HaMetim. It's two different things. Now, no one knows exactly what's what. There's a machlokas, Rambam, Ravid, Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah tries to rectify the machlokas. What's what? I mean, what is Tchiyat HaMetim? When's that happening? When is Olam Haba? Is it after Tchiyat HaMitim? What happens when a person dies today? Where does he go? He doesn't get payback for everything he did in this world? Isn't there Olam Haba now? So what does he have to come back for? What's the whole purpose of Tchiyat HaMitim? Oh, so no.
The soul just goes in the freezer.
No, so it doesn't go into the freezer. It goes up and up and up. It goes to Olam Haba, whatever that means. So then why does it have to come back? What does it want to come back for? What's the point of Tchiyas HaMesim, right? So that's discussed, and no one has a real clear picture. I mean, different Rishonim give different explanations, but at the end of the day, you see, one Rishon says this way, and the other Rishon says that way. So who knows? We had a class on it. The Rambam, in his introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, the Rambam discusses it, and over there we went through the Rambam's explanation. But there's also Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, which we didn't go through yet. There's a lot to discuss, but I don't know if it's so important. Meaning, what'll be, will be. We'll get there. We'll find out when we get there. Yeah. So you'll get back. Chazal say the people who are not buried in Israel will come back to Israel to get back to life. Their bodies will roll in underground tunnels, and then they'll get back up here. Huh? Ah. I don't think it's those tunnels. Yeah, yeah. Deeper tunnels. Don't worry. Think about it. You have millions of bodies that have to roll over here. So the problem with all these midrashim is that we take it literally, and then we talk about the tunnels being bombed, and then we say, wait a second, how are they going to get back? So none of this is that's the problem. It's not really literal. Tchias HaMesim is probably literal. It does mean that the dead will come back, but how they'll come back and when they'll come back and where, whether they'll roll back this way or that way, what we know is that Chazal said it's a good thing to be buried here. Yeah. Maybe that's why. The unfortunate thing is that there are Jews still in Gaza. Yeah.
What about Gibul HaShemot in the Kiyat Tim Olam Haba?
What?
Gibul HaShemot between Tim Olam Haba always
says. So I don't know much about Gilgul, but if you want, I have a whole book on it. You could read it, see what he says. It's written by a big Kabbalist. I don't know. I haven't dealt with it because still have a lot of things I have to learn that come before that. Whatever I'll quote you are things I heard. And you know, when you hear things, you never know who's right and who's wrong. But you learn it, so hopefully you understand. If you have a Rebbe, then you have a tradition, so you know what you're talking about. But if you just go by what people say, so I'll tell you more than that. I learned by Rav Pesin Zatzal, who had a tradition going back many, many years. He learned by the big rabbis of from before the war, and he told me his tradition when it comes to all these issues of the secrets of the Torah is that those who know don't tell, and those who tell don't know. So those people who talk and say all kinds of things, I don't know. He always used to say, if someone's telling you, he doesn't know. If he knows, there are exceptions. I don't know if there are exceptions.
How did they find them out? Someone has to have told them.
No, so it works differently. In order for you to learn the tradition, then, and there'll be a Rebbe who really knows that you're on the level to understand, then he'll teach you. But if someone speaks publicly or speaks to people without knowing them well, without knowing that they're on the level to really understand the secrets of the Torah, so then he doesn't really know. Now, this can sometimes have halachic relevance. A friend of mine was fixing tefillin for someone, and the custom is, it's brought in Kabbalah, that when you sew up the tefillin, so you leave hairs from the third parasha sticking out. So the custom has evolved that we leave the hairs coming out of a certain hole, one of the holes that we sew up the tefillin in. So this rabbi sewed up the tefillin and left the hairs coming out plainly. So the guy looks at his tefillin and he says, wait a second, you didn't do what it says in halacha, you're supposed to leave hairs out. So the rabbi tells him, look, I don't know Kabbalah, but what it says in halacha is that the custom is you leave hairs out. And it doesn't say it has to come out of this hole or that hole. And I left hairs coming out here, over here, you see? So the guy got all upset. And the rabbi went to one of the chief Kabbalists in the world today. And the Kabbalist looked at him and said, whoever told you that doesn't know anything about Kabbalah. You're 100% right. What you did is right. We do it this way. It's a nice way to do it. But he went into a whole depth of how what the purpose is and how it's supposed to work. And it just shows you that sometimes people will come yelling and they'll say, it says in Kabbalah this. Okay, so do we know what it means? Who knows? It says in Kabbalah that Friday afternoon you're supposed to take away all the spiderwebs from the house. So he's the only one that does that. Takes the broom up to the corners, takes away all the spider webs. Shabbos the king is coming into town, right? That's what it says. Shabbos Malchus is coming, so clear away the spider webs. Does Shabbos care if there are spider webs? I don't know. Okay, so all these things that are Kabbalah, we don't know. So Midrashim are also Kabbalah, and Tchis, and Gilgul is also Kabbalah. What do I know about what Gilgulim? In the Gemara, I don't know of such a concept. In Kabbalah, they say such a concept. So those who know Kabbalah, they could say, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. So Kital Orot Talecha, God's dew is a dew of light. And Tal Tzadikim Tal Shel Choshech El Tal Shel Orot. That dew that comes down to the righteous and brings them back to life is a dew of light. V'hu Noten Refuot La'aretz, God cures the land. Shenemar Va'eretz Refaim Tapil. U'mah Noten Refuot La'aretz. What does it mean? God gives cures. Amar Rabbi Tanhu Medra. De'ara V'tafkita Tiflo Tal Itchiyat Ametim. U'meze Makom U'yored. Where does the dew come down from? Merosho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes down from God's head. What does that mean? God has a head? No. So it's a medrash. It's a metaphor. And obviously the medrash has deeper meanings. So the medrash is alluding to the pasuk, Ulatid Lavo Mene'er Sarosho, God's head is, so to speak, wet after the rain. So God shakes his head, Umurit Chiyat Tal, and that rain that drips as God shakes his head, that's the dew of life. And that brings back the dead. Shenemar, the verse says, Ani Yeshena Velibi Er, I'm sleeping, but my heart is really awake. Right? Ni Yeshena Velibi Er. What's the beginning of that chapter, right? Shir Shirim. Kol Dodi Dofek. My beloved is knocking. Pitchili. Open up the door. Achoti, my sister. Rayati, my beloved one. Yonati Tamati, my pigeon, my whole one. Sheroshinim Latal. For my head is filled with dew, kivutzotai rasise laila. My curls are filled with the falls of the night. I'm all wet. Let me in. It's raining outside. So the guy is knocking on the door, and she says, "Ani shenav li biyer. I'm sleeping. My heart's awake. I'm thinking of you, but I'm still asleep." So the medrash says that's a reference to the Tchias HaMeisim, that God is that beloved, and God's head is wet from the dew, and he's going to shake his head, and it's going to come down as dew, which will bring back the dead. And obviously we have no idea what we're talking about, but it's a fascinating medrash, so we're going to have to, we just finished the 34th chapter. Don't laugh. It's important to say it, because otherwise we kid ourselves. We say, oh, God's head is filled with dew, right, okay, right. So we don't know what any of this means. But because we're learning Pirkei Reb Lezer in order, so I figured it's not right to skip this. So there are important aspects of the medrash that do apply halachically, like the thing that we tell the dead, we tell the deceased, go rest in peace. There are things that are relevant. So we learned the medrash. It's important to know. Bezat Hashem, the future prakim will understand a little bit better.